This week, jurors in the embassy bombings trial in New York embarked on what are expected to be laborious deliberations. They have a 61-page verdict sheet to complete, and they must decide unanimously on 302 separate counts. The four men on trial are charged with the August 1998 attacks on the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Those attacks killed 224 people and injured thousands. From New York, NPR's Melissa Block reports.
The jurors had convened for just half an hour on Thursday before they sent out a detailed list of 19 exhibits they wanted to examine. Among them, statements some defendants made to the FBI in which they allegedly admitted they helped carry out the bombings. The jurors also asked to see a decree titled Declaration of Holy War Against the Americans that was issued by the Saudi exile Osama bin Laden in 1996. According to prosecutors, the four men on trial were militant Islamic followers of bin Laden, who conspired in the embassy bombings to fulfill his holy war against the United States. Bin Laden has also been indicted in the case and remains a fugitive. The jurors also requested a transcript of this taped letter that defendant Mohammed Sadiq O'Day allegedly sent from Somalia to his wife in Kenya in 1997. In that letter, O'Day talks of reprisals against the enemies. "We will not let them rest," he says. "The matter will require time, preparation, and thinking." Prosecutors claim those words help link O'Day to the embassy bombings less than a year later. The jurors have not asked to see again the graphic videotape that prosecutors played, which showed horrific news footage of corpses burned and decapitated by the Nairobi explosion. It's unlikely the jurors would need to see that video twice. In his summation, defense attorney Anthony Rico told the jurors he saw them react with revulsion and disgust when they first viewed that tape. He wondered aloud whether, confronted by that horror, they could still keep an open mind. Rico spoke later outside the courthouse.
"And I always questioned in my mind whether or not a jury could continue to fairly evaluate the case having seen that videotape. My concern is that it was so prejudicial that the jury couldn't possibly fairly evaluate the remainder of the evidence. It was a major concern for us."
Over the course of the three-month trial, a certain rhythm has been established in the courtroom. Before the jury enters, the defendants are led in handcuffs. Their legs are then chained to the defense tables before their handcuffs are removed. As U.S. Marshals lock and unlock the defendants, the courtroom fills with the metallic clank of shackles. The leg restraints are concealed from the jurors by black drapery that hangs over the defense tables. The extreme security was brought about after one defendant charged at the judge at a pretrial hearing, and another allegedly helped stab a prison guard. The front two rows on one side of the courtroom have been filled throughout the trial with those who survived the bombings and the family members of those who didn't. 212 of the 224 victims were Africans, the rest Americans. Some on those benches wiped away tears as prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald summed up the government's case. He ended by reminding the jurors of someone, he said, whom you've heard precious little about. Her name was Rosalind Wanjiku Mwangi, and she's count number 123 in the indictment. One of the bombing survivors testified in the trial that he was buried in rubble next to Rose for 2 days, talking to her as they waited for rescue. He was pulled from the rubble, and he promised Rose she'd be rescued too. Back in August of 1998, NPR chronicled the daily progress of the search for Rose.
"Rescue workers today continued their efforts to free a woman known only as Rose, who has become the focal point of the rescue effort.
We're digging a tunnel now from the other side to try and get to her. Our hopes are up. She's young and strong, and she's still got a chance to be alive. We haven't been..."
The operation shut down shortly after rescuers finally found Rose Wanjiku dead just after 2 o'clock this morning.
Prosecutor Fitzgerald asked the jurors to remember Rose in their deliberations. "This trial is about her murder," he said. And he continued, "Now it's time for light, light of the truth to shine through and give Rosie one thing, justice." Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.